Werewolf my mind. Werewolf my mind. Werewolf my mind. Werewolf my mind. Hi! Welcome to the Bitter End Podcast with me, Todd Jordan.
And me, Tom Denny.
And we are here to talk about the seventh Howling movie, the seventh in this wolfiest of franchises that I know of. It is a little movie called The Howling Seven, New Moon Rising.
Or, according to some of the text on the back of the DVD box, Howling Seven, Mystery Woman.
That is a really, really weird title.
It's a shit title as well, isn't it?
And that is coming from a franchise that has a movie that was originally called Sturber Werewolf Bitch.
Yeah.
Whoa, guys.
Yeah.
Now look, we wanted to talk to you about the trailer for this. There fucking isn't one. There is not one. There is no trailer for New Moon Rising. There is no trailer for The Howling Seven. There is no trailer for Mystery Woman.
Yeah, we checked YouTube. There's nothing on there. We had a look on the DVD to see if there was a trailer on there. No, but there was the most baffling menu screen I've ever seen, which had... So imagine the music that you would have to accompany a werewolf film. No, you're getting this. MIDI recorded country bluegrass. It sounds like the music out of like a really laid-back level in Mario Kart.
Yeah, or like Secret of Monkey Island.
Yeah,
or
like the farm level in Mario Kart.
With like a little cheeky marimba solo in there.
Yeah.
So look, guys, we can't tell you much about what this film is going to be, but what we can do is read some information from the back of the DVD. Tom, take it away.
Right, so some interesting stuff here in just like the movie credits, like on the back. So as you mentioned at the end of the last episode, that Clive Turner, a man who has produced quite a number of Howling films previously, he is now stepping up. And oh boy, is he stepping up. I will read to you. So... Allied Vision Limited presents a Clive Turner film, John Ramsden and Clive Turner in Howling 7, Mystery Woman, starring a bunch of people. Oh no, starring Jack Huff and Elizabeth Shea.
What?
Elizabeth Shea, Mary Lou from the fifth film, and the cameo that no one spotted in the sixth film. She's back in the seventh film.
In a starring role.
Yes, written, produced, and directed by Clive Turner. Four roles he's played on this film.
Clivey T stepping up.
I mean, it probably, like, there's not enough room on the back of the DVD box to say that it was, like, catered by him, that, like, poster design, like, he did it all.
He turned on a light somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, according to the box, a must for all Howling fans. I mean, it's a Howling film, so if you're a Howling fan, like, that's surely a given. The latest in one of the biggest horror franchises in history.
Debatable.
Now, that is... I mean, I don't think that's even debatable. That's just a lie. That's just a fucking lie.
Yeah. Well, look, man, this is a 1995 film. So mm-hmm. If you thought the last one was 90s enough to make your hair curl, this one is...
Is enough to make you hurl.
Yeah. Tubular.
Bootacious.
I don't really think there's much more that we can do other than just, like, slam headfirst into it.
I mean, it's a bit of a blind guess in the dark with the IMDb game.
Yeah, give it a punt, give it a punt. So the last one, the IMDb score of Howling 6, The Freaks, was 4.2.
I mean, the production values on this DVD box look a lot better than on the last one. Mm-hmm. So 4.5?
4.5.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid, Tom... It goes in the opposite direction.
Ooh.
It goes down.
Ooh.
Not up.
Ooh.
I've got some really bad news.
Oh, mate, what?
No, seriously, mate, I've got some bad news.
Yeah?
1.8. This film... Tom.
Clive, your magnum opus, what went wrong?
Tom, I am here to tell you that this film is one of the lowest rated films on IMDb. This score is low enough for it to be within the bottom 100 films of all films. This film has a lower IMDb score than Troll 2, the film that is so bad it had a documentary made about it. This film is apparently not as good as that.
Well, I was way off. Shit!
We've never gone below a 3.
Oh my god. This is dark times, bro.
1.8.
I have never watched anything that is like rated this badly.
Few people have.
Because like when we watched Highlander 2, that had like a Rotten Tomatoes score of like 0. Or something like that. But then it was like a 4 on IMDb.
Yeah, IMDb I think is like the brain's logical state, whereas Rotten Tomatoes tends to score things a bit more emotionally, I think, you know?
Oh my god. I don't know if I'm afraid or incredibly excited.
You're in too deep now, Tom.
I know, we haven't even seen the trailer. We have no idea what's coming. Oh my god.
It's quite a thrill. We doing this?
Yeah, we're doing it.
I think we're doing this!
I'm sad now. I feel like we really worked quite hard on this, Tom, and then something like this film...
It's just ruined everything. Clive Turner is clearly a maniac.
I try to be a good person, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we did anything to deserve this film. You know, we might have given the other films a bit of a ribbon, but it came from a place of love and affection. We weren't being mean-spirited. And then Clive did this. I just can't anymore. So, we didn't like it, is what we're saying. It's barely a film.
I'm shaken.
I've never seen... This is not, like, in terms of, like, the films we watch for the podcast, but this is hands down the worst film I have, and I'm sure we'll ever see.
I don't know how we can move on from it.
God.
Tom.
Just physically and emotionally devastating. We should try and put this in context for our good listeners who I really hope have not watched this film. That IMDb rating is well earned.
I mean, 1.8.
It's generous.
Know.
It's generous. Oh my God, people. It's terrible. Oh my God, it's so bad. It's so fucking bad. But...
I don't think I can talk about it.
It does something really strange. This film is like literally the worst film I've ever seen in my life. But it also tries to create continuity between like all of the disparate elements of the Howling franchise that have, you know, like since like 1 and 2 were the only two that had any kind of like continuity. And then you had that really random like Mary Lou cameo in 6 that obviously no one ever noticed. This one actually tries to hold it all, pull it all together. But it's somewhere nestled in this fucking shit nugget of a film. Oh, it's so bad. Clive Turner's a maniac. He's an eager, I mean, he produced Lawnmower Man.
Which but is strong. I like Lawnmower Man.
I like Lawnmower
yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
but
good.
This is unforgivable and is unacceptable filmmaking. So, Todd, I'm going to try and explain this to people. You jump in when you feel strong enough.
Okay.
Because I can see Todd is fading.
I can do that. I'm just warning you now, as the person that's going to be editing this episode of the podcast, I'm probably just going to bleep out the next 25 minutes.
Okay, fair enough.
You ready?
Yeah. The film starts off like, you know you're in bad shape when the Okay, goodbye, folks. The film just starts off, like, you know you're in bad shape when the titles of the film flash up on screen for less amount of time than it's barely readable. You know, like, it kind of goes, Howling Seven... Wait, what? And it's gone.
The on-screen credit did say Mystery Woman, not...
Did it?
Yeah, it said Mystery Woman, not New Moon Rising.
I don't know who the Mystery Woman was. Well, I do know who the Mystery Woman was, but the majority of the film did not make it clear.
Yeah.
Basically, the film just starts with, like, a dead body in the dirt in the middle of a desert and a bunch of old men looking at it.
There's three old men. The first one says, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The second one says, Holy shit. The third one says, Mother of God.
Good stuff.
And then we move on.
Basically, they... Is it that, like, they're saying that this guy, this person in the dirt, was killed by Mary Lou?
Yeah, so...
They have a photo of her.
Like, honestly, we can't dwell on any of these details too much, but on the guy's dead... On the dead body of the guy, they find Mary Lou's wallet, so Mary Lou being the werewolf from The Howling 5 with this tiny, tiny, brief, invisible cameo in The Howling 6 where she's at the circus... Apparently, while she was at the circus, this prick stole her wallet and then she chased him down, wolfed out, and killed him for that.
Yeah.
So that's like the impetus of the whole rest of the film.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we cut to a kindly old dude from like a Werther's Original advert who is apparently a homicide detective.
Yeah.
He's gone to go visit a priest who is a specialist in werewolves because he is trying to track down Mary Lou.
I don't know why he's gone to this priest, though.
Because the priest is like, he's an expert in werewolves. And
yeah.
The homicide detective.
I have to say that
she is a
actually,
werewolf.
Before even this came up, like after those men showed up, like, the, you know, like there's like the men find the dead body, the detective shows up. We had like this montage of this long haired guy riding around a motorbike through the desert to this horrible MIDI country music that we got from the menu screen on the DVD.
Mm.
So we're like 5 minutes in, and this is the point where Todd turns to me and says, I don't know if I can do this.
I don't know if I can do this now.
No. So yeah, we've got like this guy is talking, like, the detective...
Oh, I can't!
Don't worry, Todd, I'm going to plow through. The detective is talking to the priest all about werewolves, at which point a long-haired Australian shows up at some bar in a random, like, desert town.
Called Pioneer Town.
Pioneer Town.
Established 1948. How many pioneers would have been there then?
Yeah, I don't know. That's amazing. And then real town, I think, Pioneer Town, because in this film... The places and the names of the characters are the names of the real places that they filmed in and the names of the real actors, because as you can clearly see from this film, they were having a hard enough time remembering their lines without having to remember fake names. So they just like, no, your name is Jerry. Your character will be called Jerry. That'll make it easy for everybody. We get Ted, the Australian, who shows up, played by our man, the maniacal genius, Clive Turner.
The big'un himself.
The big'un.
He is this long-haired Australian biker. He's rocked up in Pioneer Town at this country and western bar.
And just gets a job.
He just gets a job.
And then, like, 15 minutes of the film is just, like, a montage of him working in a country and western bar, having bants with his mate. Like, literally, so much of this film is just jokes that, like, is Ted telling jokes, like, you know, just like lads at the bar jokes, like, be like, oh, I don't know, mate, your mum wasn't so bad last night. He's standing next to his mate at a urinal and the guy's like pissing and he's like, don't you think this urinal's really small, Ted? And he goes, what, don't you think it's really small? And then he basically turns and goes like, yeah, mate, your dick's really small.
End of bants.
Yeah,
there's a bit of
that
him
is
and,
the majority of the film.
There's a bit of him and three of his mates wearing sombreros, having a bit of a dance with some mops. That goes on for ages.
Oh, the best bit. The best bit. There's some bants at the bar, like where like some guy's giving someone a bit of a ribbon and they're talking about country music. And this guy goes like, what do you know about country? You only know about the first four letters. At which point you go, until you realise how you spell country. So, C-O-U-N. That's not funny.
Cown.
Cown. Oh, he's all about cown.
Oh.
There's a bit where they go on for ages about all the different diseases that they've had, and he's like, yeah.
Your arm's tired?
I only want to flap him.
Okay, that could give you arthritis.
It's all right. I just had a bout of hepatitis.
Yeah, a little bit further down your leg and probably get pneumonia.
Hell, I'd be more worried about smallpox.
Well, I'm pretty lucky there. I've already had diphtheria.
This is the bulk of the film. Like, at this point, like halfway through this montage, which shows the passage of time of at least a few days. Like, Ted has become firmly ensconced in this town. He's made loads of mates. He's worked several shifts at this bar. You cut back to the detective and the priest talking about werewolf shit. And it's like, have they been there for days talking about this? And then you get, like, the detective says to the priest, oh, I'm getting a bit tired. I'm just going to go home. Can we pick this up again tomorrow? Like, the priest explaining werewolf lore takes an hour of the film. It shouldn't take that
long. And it's so feeble. I mean, this is 2 pages of notes that I've written for this section. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Why are they all wearing sombreros? Drinking shots, shot drinking montage, oh God, country music, the banter is shit, I hate country music, this is the worst film I've ever seen, drunk guy, I can't believe I paid money for this DVD, Clive Turner is everywhere, fuck my life.
It's a fair description. That's a fair review. That's pretty much how I was feeling. I was just, I felt like I was trapped by this film.
Trapped. There's so much of them line dancing in the dark to an entire song, bearing in mind that country music is second only to Queen in the circles of hell. It's some of the absolute worst. And we listen to an entire song of them line dancing in the dark. Then we'll cut to like hilarious bounce from Clive Turner, such as, oh, I'm into necrophilia, bestiality and sadomasochism. I thought I'd give it up, but I was just flogging a dead horse.
Oh my God.
Cut back to the band doing an entire country song with old man Pappy coming up and singing along. And then everyone goes, yes, Pappy. We don't give a shit who Pappy is.
And I don't want to be like ageist or anything, but you know, like in horror films, you need like, there's usually like a quota of like young, dumb, attractive people who get killed because they're idiots.
Yeah.
Everybody in this is Clive Turner, like a middle-aged man, his age, and older, because apparently he's just some Australian guy who somehow became a producer in Hollywood and just palled around in Pioneer Town and got really into country music and got all of his mates to be in a film. That is the only explanation.
Yeah. Like,
these are all of his mates.
Yeah. This is the film. There's no werewolves in this film.
Yeah. So basically, there's a bit where like Ted has some drunk guy with a mullet shows up and has a bit of a ruck with him, and then he disappears, and everyone's like, some people are I don't know who any of the characters are. I was just could not be bothered to pay attention and like note down who any of the characters' names are. People think that Ted had something to do with this guy disappearing. And then at some point later on in the film, Ted has a fight with another guy in the bar.
Some other bloke,
He has a fight with some other guy for some reason, and then he turns up dead. And some people think, do you think Ted killed him? Maybe. Should we call the police? No, we'll just hide the body, because I don't know why. At this point, we were about 45 minutes in, and I was way past paying attention.
Yeah.
It was, I could not do it. in and around this, every now and then you get some, like, what I think are meant to be wolf shots, wolf's eye views.
It's like a red-tinted POV, but it doesn't even do anything. It just, like, runs around. We see, like, a deer.
It's like
then the POV runs away, and then we cut back to some fucking line dancing.
It's like budget predator vision.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just more line
dancing. Goofy.
More line dancing. And, like, nothing. Just
nothing.
Like,
void, bleak, blank.
45 minutes in.
Dead inside.
45 minutes in, someone dies.
I'm numb, Tom.
Tell me that. Oh, after this 45 minutes in of, like, some guy getting killed, we get this really, like, good bit where, like, Pappy, the old man who runs the country western bar, makes chili, and then, like, he gets someone drives by, he's cooking it outside on a big, like, you know, cast iron stove, like, cauldron. Someone drives by and gets some dirt in the chili, at which point, like, there's about four scenes of people going, like, hey, Pappy, there's dirt in the chili, and this bloke eats some chili and then farts a lot. Like,
it's top notch. There's a 20-second long shot of just Clive Turner laughing his ass off at that.
Just some bloke farts.
Tom.
Okay, now
look.
I've just looked at my notes and I've realised that there's a feature, and I just want to get it out of the way. And it's the Endy Awards.
I'm not clapping.
So basically, the Endy Awards are our awards for enthusiasm. I have no enthusiasm for this film, and clearly no one else does, apart from Clive Turner, and I don't wish to congratulate him for what he has done here. I think
he knows what he's done.
It's shameful. So my Endy Award will go to... there's a bit after some couple of gals, they're poking around Ted's shack, after they think that he might have killed someone or something like that. And basically, the person in the shack next to him just walks out in cowboy boots and, like, a hand towel wrapped around his waist.
Oh, it's purple.
Yeah, a purple hand towel wrapped around his waist, stark naked apart from this towel and cowboy boots, with, like, a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and just walks out onto the porch and just really stretches it out. And they turn around to see him, and he goes, "Oop!" And he just runs back in. That is the best performance in this film, as far as I am concerned. So I'm going to give this Endy Award to Purple Towel Naked Guy. I'm not clapping, though.
I'm not clapping. But yeah, it was a film with limited highlights. I think we need to talk about the important bit of this film, because this is what is so difficult about this, right?
Yeah.
That this is categorically one of the worst films in existence, I think.
It's garbage.
But it is crucial to the franchise, because this film really attempts to link together all of the previous films as best it can. There are very, very subtle links to 5 out of the 6 previous films.
Yeah, I think with this in mind, we should probably go to one corner.
The corner of rules.
And another corner.
The corner of wolves.
Which makes...
Rules Wolves Square.
Oh, didn't think we'd be back here again.
Oh, good Lord. Do you want to talk it through? Because
right. It's
quite important. This film draws a very tenuous thread from The Howling 1 to The Howling 4 to The Howling 5 to The Howling 6. Now, The Howling 1 is already linked to Howling 2. Howling 3 is kind of a standalone because it runs through into the future.
It does, doesn't it?
So that happens outside of this timeline. So... you want to talk about all the ways that this links, Tom?
So the priest is basically... whenever you get the detective talking to the priest, he is, like, talking about everything he knows about werewolves, and he references old films, and they actually show footage from
so much footage from old
like,
films
from like yeah like 4 and 5 mostly, and like what do you get? You get like he says like the werewolf curse started in Hungary in this castle that we saw in 5, and what he's saying is like the spirit of the devil was actually in the castle. So it's not like a curse or a bloodline thing with being werewolves. Actually, like that castle was inhabited by the devil and inhabited people and came in, embodied them through being a werewolf.
Yep.
So because the castle wasn't exorcised when all those people killed themselves in 5, that's why the werewolf curse came back. And they burned the castle down, but it still stayed unholy ground. So when they rebuilt the castle and all those celebrities went there for like their little jolly weekend and all ended up dying, the devil was able to inhabit them. And it inhabited Mary Lou.
Yeah.
With the spirit of the wolf. It also... Oh, okay, that's that. Right.
Well, there's another...
I'm so confused. There's so much going on here. Because it says that the Australian in 5...
A previous Endy Award recipient.
Yeah, that was Clive Turner.
We didn't even realise that's Clive Turner, guys. That
was Clive Turner, who was playing a guy called Ray. I think his name was Ray.
That's what it says on IMDb.
Yeah, but in this, they're saying that his name was Ted. And, like, so, like, they're basically saying that Ted in this is the same Ray that we thought had died in that, and that he somehow... He just got away. And also, Clive Turner has a very brief cameo in 4 as a tow truck driver who gets hit down by Marie.
And he was the same character in that.
So, like, Clive Turner's character is this thread running through all the films, and they've tried to tie it together. They didn't need to do that because no one knew, no one noticed.
And there's this ridiculous bit where Marie, the heroine from The Howling 4, she's like talking to the priest or the detective, and she's
all back
these,
in it.
She sees these pictures, and they're like, oh, you know, they're showing her pictures of
Mary Lou,
and she's like, no, I don't recognize her. Oh, but I recognize that guy. Points to a picture of Ted and is like, that's the guy I hit with a truck while I was trying to escape Drago.
Yeah. And then I mean, I've got to apologize here because I don't really understand if Ted was meant to be a werewolf or not.
Well, we're not supposed to know. We're supposed to think he maybe, may not. The priest says that Ted is a werewolf. The cop says, no, maybe not. Turns out that the werewolf spirit that had possessed Mary Lou has escaped Mary Lou's body because she knows that people are onto her, and has entered the body of one of the random girls from the country and western bar. And she is manipulating events somehow to try and convince the priest that Ted is the werewolf.
And so... now we've got, like, Friday the 13th Part 9 rules, where it's, like, a transferable possession.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that Mary Lou became a werewolf 3 years ago. And apparently when it became... and 3 years ago is how long it takes for a werewolf to, like, kind of, like, fully manifest. And on the 3rd anniversary of Mary Lou becoming a werewolf, she'll, like, get this super extra power that she can turn others into werewolves. So the priest is saying that we need to find this werewolf and kill it before that happens. There is no sense of urgency, and that bugs the shit out of me in films when they like there's this, like this ticking clock that we will. There is no rush to try and fix. That's a lot of rules, man. That is a lot of new lore.
But the reason that this is not just Rules Corner, but it's also combined with Wolves Corner to make Rules Wolf Square, is that we kind of find this all out all at once. Then, you know, this girl from the bar is revealed to be possessed by the spirit of the werewolf. Then we see her transformation. Oh my God. This transformation is the final insult.
Yeah.
It is a still JPEG, like a pixelated 1995, probably a bitmap.
Yeah.
Image of just the shittest werewolf face you've ever seen.
Well, it starts as her face.
And they've morphed
They morph
her face into this static, pixely JPEG. And then Clive Turner goes, "Oh, Scarpa, lads, let's get out of here." And then they run out the door, crossfade to everyone in the Country and Western Club singing a song which says, "Sorry that we thought you were a werewolf, Ted." And then he comes up and does a verse. He's like,
"Hey, Ted, get up there and sing.
Such a big mistake with a handsome dog like me. Ah!
You all thought I was a werewolf, but I'm too handsome to be a werewolf. Roll credits. End of film.
That's basically it. Like, you have a bit where when she changes into the wolf, it turns out that she was trying to convince everyone that Ted was the werewolf, but everyone had figured out it was her, and she turns into a wolf, and you get a shot of, like, her in her, like, yellow shirt and blue jeans with a wolf mask on, jumping out of the door, and all of the village is there with guns,
yeah,
to shoot her because we knew Ted wouldn't be a baddie. He's got such good bands. Her bands are rubbish, and they shoot her. Yeah, and then they literally just like cut to like another country western song as the credits roll, and like that is it for werewolves. Like the most werewolf stuff that they use. There's a werewolf attack. Like the one bit where the only one person in this film dies.
There are quite a few people die. We just don't see it.
Do they? Oh, I thought there was like one guy that died. But basically what they do is like when this one person gets actually attacked by a wolf is they just cut to footage of a close-up of a wolf from one of the other films.
Yeah.
And like the most wolves you get to see are in Marie's flashback from part four, where you get to see the awesome wolf in part four.
They even deal with Marie's character realizes that the werewolf is onto her and is so traumatized from her previous werewolf experiences that she jumps out the window and kills herself, right? But we don't see any of that. No. We see Marie in her room a bit scared, cut.
Oh, Predator vision,
a bit scared, cut. That's it. About half an hour later in the film, they refer to her again and they go,
she's dead.
That's why Marie jumped out the window and broke her neck. Cut to a couple of frames flashback of just Marie lying on the floor. That's it. That's how they do their death effects. They're just like, oh, we'll deal with it later.
There's this massive scene between the detective and the priest where they're just talking about all this stuff that's happened, but in the past. Like, it's really confusing because they're just like, oh, that bit when like Ted did this and we arrested Ted and then the policeman got killed and then like something and something like... It's really jarring. Like they suddenly like start talking about everything in the past tense and like it looks like it's a flashback. But like the way it's framed is like it's like in a flashback to a film where like, you know, you'd cut back to a scene from like the opening 15 minutes and like do like actually show some footage that you've already shown in the film. But it's all new footage, but they're presenting it to you like you've already seen it, like the way that they set it up, and you're kind of like, and I was like, have I already seen this? Because I have really zoned out. I don't know.
Honestly, guys, I think we did a lot of soul searching tonight. And
I've reevaluated my life. This was not good. You know, like the whole thing, like how they've like tried to tie all the films together and everything.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, I really like big expanded kind of like storytelling. I like world building in things. I like it when films in like a big series call back to things that I didn't think that they would call back to.
I know that about you. I know that you're a fan.
But this was just the wrong play. I kind of appreciate that they are finally trying to do this with the series, but like the film is basically it's not a werewolf film. It's about like an 80 minute film of Clive Turner hanging out in a country western bar doing fart gags with his mates. And then every now and then they splice in a very, very, very weak werewolf story, all done by people who cannot act to save their lives.
You know what, Tom?
What?
I'm done talking about it. Fuck this film.
Yeah.
We're not talking about this film anymore. Let's talk about the next one. Well, I'm done talking about it. Yeah. Next one. Hey, guys.
Oh, my God.
Next week, we're going to be watching The Howling Reborn, which I am so incredibly excited for. I cannot wait for this franchise to be reborn.
I'm excited the fact that I don't think we can ever watch a film this bad again.
What's even weirder is that this franchise has no seventh film. It just goes from The Howling 6, The Freaks, straight to The Howling 8, Reborn. There's no seventh film. Yeah. Not as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't exist. La 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 la.
I can't even remember what we've been doing for the past 2 hours. It certainly wasn't watching a film and then talking about it. Men in Black me, please. Just like...
flashy thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It's a bitter end as well.
It will be the bitter end of the franchise. The eighth movie, we're going to be at the end. Dare I ask what you hope to see, what you expect to see?
I don't want Clive Turner.
I don't know if there is any Clive Turner.
Then I don't give a shit.
I believe it's noughties. It's going to be good to be out of the 90s.
Oh, okay. Then if it's the noughties, I just hope that everything's really shiny.
Yeah, I think it's going to be shiny.
Everything in the noughties was
Man,
really
I was
noughties.
Way off base with this one when I said I thought it was going to be about like college kids.
Yeah, I mean, no one would have guessed. It's just kind of like it's Clive Turner's holiday video, which he then tried to turn into a werewolf film.
Yeah.
No one could have foreseen this.
Guys, if you are one of the listeners that valiantly attempts to watch these films along with us, I hope that you're alive now.
Yeah, I hope you're well. I hope everything's
look,
okay.
Look after yourselves, yeah?
What are we going to do with that DVD, Todd?
Because
I don't think you should keep that in your house.
No, I feel really bad about it.
And I don't even feel it's worth giving to a charity shop because I just... Unless we give it to a charity shop and we just write a note inside it that just says, ha ha, sucks to be you.
I'm going to see if I can find Clive Turner's P.O. box and send it to him.
I've never really felt the need to, like, troll somebody or, like, write hate mail to somebody... But I do feel that Clive Turner really needs a stern talking to. I mean, dude, Lawnmower Man is fine, but that it did not make up for this. His performance in Part 5, that was fine.
That was Endy Award winning.
I know, but this, I mean, there's only so much Australian that this franchise needs, and this was too much.
So weird that he's not in the Australian film.
Oh my God. We really picked a doozy for this season, didn't we? Shit, I could not have guessed in a million years.
All right, guys. Well, join us next time when we reach the bitter end. Hopefully a little bit more invigorated, a little bit more spring in our step. I think I'm going to love it.
I think I'd love anything after this.
I can't wait to see this franchise be reborn. If you're still with us, thank you so much for listening along. Please do send us a tweet at BitterEndPod or drop us a Facebook message at BitterEndPod. Don't forget to write us an iTunes review if you haven't already. Stick around, guys. It gets better. I promise. I promise it's going to get better. I just know it.
Ow-woo.
Ow-woo.
Ted's a cowboy?
Hey, Ted!
Yeah?
You used to ride in rodeos in Australia, didn't you?
Hell yeah, I was nearly Australian champion.
Australian champion? What stopped you, Ted?
Can't fool off the horse.
Hey, Jack. Looks like you've been getting your shirts out of Jack's inside of the closet again. Good night, Jacqueline.